Welcome to the CMS Faculty Development Talks podcast from Chicago Medical School. I am your host, Dr. Les Sun. I'm excited to share with you this podcast where I talk with a colleague and other experts in a range of disciplines about teaching, learning, and faculty development in medical education. So today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Mike Zidane, who's got lots of titles. So I'm going to try to go through a couple of these. The Associate Dean for Continuing Medical Education, the Graduate Medical Education and DIO, Professor, Chair, and Education Director in Surgery in the Clinical Sciences Department at Chicago Medical School. So he is going to talk to us kind of about a really important issue, which is what role do the residents play in student education, and a little bit about what they should be doing, what's the expectation, how do we get them all working together? So Mike, take it away, please.
Well, the residents play an extremely important role in the education of students. I mean, every student knows, and because they've all rotated with residents, that very often the residents are the ones that students interface with the most. You may be on a team with an attending and a whole team of residents, and you may see the attending only a short period of time every day, but you work with the residents on a constant basis. So the residents play an important role in being able to direct students in terms of not only what they should be doing, but what they should be knowing. And the making rounds as a team has always been an important role in teaching. And some of the best teaching moments come out of the conversations that evolve around making rounds with the residents and the students together.
So, Mike, can you give us an idea of what kind of teaching methods you recommend residents use with medical students?
Well, I think to some extent, everybody develops their own style as a teacher. But for the most part, I think, traditionally, we learn medicine sort of by doing and using the Socratic method. It helps for the residents to, when they're starting to think about what they want to do for in the care of patients, to ask the students from the same perspective. What would you do? What do you think we ought to do? Examine once you've talked about the data and things like vital signs and labs. What should we do next? It's not much different than what an attending will do for the resident. And it's all about, stepwise progression to learning how to take care of patients. And, it starts with small steps. But that's sort of the general method that we've all learned by.
And so would you say one of the good methods to do that is to ask them questions, but not pimping questions, or give them a short lecture about the topic? What do you think the best way they should approach that?
Well, it depends on the setting. It's also really beneficial for the residents to be able to teach. If you can explain a topic to somebody else, you can be pretty sure you know it fairly well. And that's a sort of a good test for all of us. When you get to the point when you can explain a topic about a different disease process or to another physician, then you can really be relatively sure that you're pretty well prepared. So it's the resident's advantage to be able to do this, because it reinforces their own knowledge.
You always want to talk about something you know about, and sometimes the students actually ask you questions you don't know. So how do you handle that?
No, it's like anything else. It's when an attending asks you something you don't know. I mean, at some point you acknowledge that you don't know it, but then that's the first step in learning about it. Then you go and you research something and you look up the answers and you come back and you rediscuss things, and that's how you build your knowledge base.
And we've all had those situations where we didn't know the answer and had to look it up and say, "Well, I'm going to have to think about that and I'll get back to you." So the next question I have is, we know that the residents are busy, and whether it's a surgical resident or a psych resident, whatever they are, they're pretty busy. So how do you kind of integrate that teaching into that busy schedule?
Yeah, and again, there generally are times when it's easier to teach when there's more time, and there are times when you really just need to get the work done. So, you know, usually, at least not from a busy surgical service, the first things in the morning are, you know, seeing the patients, getting done what needs to be done. But usually at some point in the day when, you know, the operations are done or over with, you make more extended rounds on your patient. And that's the time to be able to teach more, where you have time to actually discuss things and to delve more into the patient's problems and disease processes. But you know, for sure, there are times when, you know, teaching is not going to happen. And I think sometimes students, you know, they don't realize that. They think that every moment should be a teaching moment. But, you know, there is the work of actually taking care of patients. But it's relatively easy to incorporate even small things, you know, even on work rounds in terms of reinforcing things like, you know, what medications you should be ordering and then, you know, what situations in terms of, you know, intravenous fluids and things, then why you're ordering, what you're ordering. So there's always teaching opportunities, but it's going to vary a little bit depending on the exact situation you're in.
And so what do you do if they ask you a question and you're like, you know, doing a procedure and you've got to focus? You know, how do you address them when it's not a good time?
Yeah, well, hopefully students will exercise judgment in knowing when's a good time and when's not. Obviously, in the middle of an operation when there's, bleeding that needs to be controlled is not a good time to start asking questions. But I think you don't want to, completely shut off students, but I think you just need to remind them that, this is something we'll address when, it's a little bit more opportune to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point, because there's always going to be a good time and a bad time, and we've got to figure out how to communicate that to the students. And yeah, you're right, it'd be great if the students kind of knew when a good time was and when it's not, but I'm not always sure that they're at that stage where they get it.
I think most do. I think most understand that, you know, in times of crisis is not a good time to be asking a lot of questions.
Oh yeah, they're good point. Very good point. Yeah. And from my perspective in emergency medicine, yeah, during the middle of a trauma resuscitation, I don't think that's a good time to be, or a medical resuscitation, not a good time to ask questions. But we can talk after. We'll be happy to go over it. And then my last question is, how do you do the engagement? How do you get the residents to have the fire in the belly to say, I want to teach the students that is a priority of mine?
Yeah, and again, it's like everything else. Everybody's a little bit different. You know, some people are, I think, just better natural teachers than others. But I think the thing to always remember when you're in that situation is trying to think back of when you were a student and really wanted that sort of information and what you would have liked from your resident and to act accordingly. That's one of the things that you very often see is a lot of the times the students who complain the most about not getting taught by residents turn out to be poor teachers themselves. And I think the important thing to do is just keep in mind that, you know, this is what I would have liked, you know, when I was in this situation and to be that role model for the students that, you know, you're the one who knows the information, you know, that everybody likes to be looked up to. And one of the best ways as a clinician to be looked up to is to be able to be the person who knows the reference in the journal article and knows the topic and can quote that. I mean, that's the way you impress the people you work with, your supervisors and the people actually you're teaching. So you need to keep that in mind. If that's, you know, and most of us, you know, we all want to sort of be that person. So, you know, that's the way you do that.
Well, and those are some great suggestions. Mike, anything else that you want to tell our audience about, you know, working with students from a resident perspective?
No, again, you know, just keep in mind, you know, you were once a student also, and just you have to think about, you know, there are times when you're tired and you really don't want to do this. And, you know, not everybody's going to be the greatest teacher every day of the week. But, you know, that it's a major responsibility we all have to the profession is to, you know, educate the people coming behind us. And that's, you know, that's part of professionalism. That's part of you know, who we are as a profession. And that's, you know, you need to keep that in mind.
What would you do if a resident was, you know, not being professional in their educating? What would you recommend?
Well, it depends on who it is exactly who's noticing that. I mean, if you as a student notice that that's the problem, I think you need to just bring it up to you know, either the resident or other residents, or you know, even to you know, an attending or whoever your supervisor is from a student level. You know, from a faculty person level, if that's something that you notice in a resident, I think you just need to remind them that, you know, this is part of what we do. This is part of our obligation to not only just to the students, but our profession in general.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. It was great talking to you about how residents should approach teaching students. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CMS Faculty Development Talks podcast, brought to you by the Office of Academic Learning Environment at Chicago Medical School. For additional podcasts, educational lectures, learning modules, opportunities for continuing medical education credit, CME, and more, please Google CMS Faculty Development and learn more about what we have to offer.